Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide, and I'm thrilled to drop into your podcast feed this week. I'm busy cranking out content over on the Soil Sisters podcast right now and trying my hand at industrial hemp farming and regenerative agriculture, supporting your local farmers and ranchers, and growing your own nutrient-dense food and medicine are as crucial as ever. But none of that is possible without healthy soil and the right seeds. As a podcast producer and connoisseur, I was excited to join Alpine Seed Group on a trip to Canna Country Farms back in July to document the farm's seasonal pheno hunt. Canna Country is a small, multi-generational family-operated farm in southern Humboldt County. Utilizing full sun and organic cultivation practices, Ted Blair and Reggie Weedman focus on genetics, bred, and selected on-farm for their smoking qualities and effects. And full disclosure, Ted and Reggie are two great friends of mine. Reggie brought a number of his long-worked genetics to the mountain, and both he and Ted collected clones and seedlings to add to the mix. Over the years, they have been sifting through the collection and making selections. And now they're mapping the combining abilities of these selections as they breed them together to make female-only seeds. They are testing the bounds of what they know, which is exactly the kind of people I keep in my circle. If you're interested in growing your own cannabis, or you're simply curious to better understand the thought and effort that goes into breeding award-winning cannabis flower, listen to this episode of the Cannabis Breeders Network, featuring the duo behind Canna Country Selections. Then head on over to alpineseedgroup.com to find their available seed selection. And be sure to subscribe to Cannabis Breeders Network to get in the weeds on cannabis genetics and breeding. You'll find it wherever you're listening to the podcast. All right, now smoke them if you got them and settle in. It's time to get casually baked and check out the Cannabis Breeders Network. Welcome to the Cannabis Breeders Network, where we get in the weeds with legendary breeders about the history, genetics, and cultivation of cannabis cultivars, all intended to elevate your growing game. This conversation is brought to you by Alpine Seed Group. Welcome to the Cannabis Breeders Network. We are excited to welcome the team behind Canna Country Selections, Ted Blair, Reggie Weedman. Thank you so much for inviting us up to the farm to check out your pheno hunt.
Glad to have you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about the pheno hunt this year. We've done a whole bunch of crossing from the phenos that we've already hunted. So that's exciting to see the different faces we've selected go into the ones that we've selected. We're stoked to be able to see all the different phenos and all the faces, smells, colors, tastes. And it's just a really exciting, long process.
And it's really fun to explore this in the feminized fashion because we've really gotten to know these clones that we've kept in. The female form is the form that we most cherish in this plant. And oftentimes with regular breeding male and female, it's the progeny that tell you how that male was. You can take your notes, but what traits it carried on is really down the line. And that's what we're finding too, but we get to see them first in their full female expression and then how they play together. For instance, the anthocyanins with the 26, watching which ones that it's crossed with, that they're really promoted, like the 29, which one they're less promoted, like the 37, and then which ones where there's like nice, all the shades in between. We've been really stoked about seeing the
super green 30 crosses that come out are just amazing. Green. 26 and 30 are some of my favorite this year.
Heck yeah. These
are just amazing.
And then there's the 38 that's just the workhorse of all just, she does her thing.
It's been a pleasure to work with that plant since day one.
Perfect branching, holds herself up to a certain size.
Squatty body.
Predictable, chunky buds.
And that super terpy with the blueberry and the key lime. It becomes almost Skittly, even though it's different than Skittles.
Yeah, but it leaves that crazy mouth feel. You know, even just smelling it yesterday, some of them like stuck to our palates, stuck up our nose.
You can't get rid of it. It's down your throat, like in your nose and down your throat, and you can't get it out. It's kind of a cream.
Yeah, cream, like a little citrusy, and then that berry, there's some tart fruit in quite a few.
Absolute winners.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the unique genetics, those attributes that y'all are going for in this pheno hunt this go around.
We're really just selecting out of our own, but yeah, I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah, because we're deep into this multi-year pheno hunt, and the first stage of it was bringing all these unique characters together and then making our selections. And then really getting to know these clonal selections over the last few seasons to the point then we like have them characterized and then we put them together with the different selections. So like we're exploring the inverse crosses where we used one as the mother and the other as the father and vice versa, where we used the other one as the father this time and the vice versa as the mother.
Yeah.
Well, and I ask this too because you're both avid smokers. And I know that at the end of the day, you want to make sure that it's something that tastes good, smokes smooth, you know, that you want to share with folks. So absolutely. Like what is Canna Country Selections offering up as far as someone who really loves their herb?
You know, we do this pheno hunt and the process is quite a bit just to get to the hunt. And then as it's harvested, cured, dried, put away, we'll bring it back to the table. And then we have to sit down and select through smoking. And so it comes down to the smoke eventually. It's all about how it looks and how it smells while it's growing. But that all can change once you get the plant. It's dried, it's cured, and you break into it. Either the smell might have gone away there, or it might not be there when it breaks, or it might be in there when it smokes, or it might not be in there at all. And so it's going through the smoke that makes our selections, not this looks amazing, but it doesn't taste that good. Oh, well, we're going to get it out there anyway. No, you're not going to get that from us. The smoke has to be there, the smell and the look. And the yields are also a thing, but it's not like the thing that breaks it for me anyway, unless it was just so small that there's nothing you can do with it except maybe extract it. But anyway, yes, so we're looking for yield as well.
And that's to really get to the point where we do call it our selection. Takes it checking all those boxes. Right now in the pheno hunting process, we're hanging tags on the plants that we most enjoy because of their smells and aromas and their form or their look and their beauty. Yeah. And it's like relative to each line, and we're setting goals in a lot of the different lines of what it is that we're looking for. But getting to pick, because we have these unique characters that carry their own traits getting put together, we're seeing a lot of these, like 9x26, for instance. On the farm, it's one of our favorite blends. Well, now we've blended them genetically, and we're like, one of our goals is to find one of the selections that really complements and brings forth both the parents and like is a nice blend.
And we have some of those as far as we know, but you know, like we said, it has to be smoked first.
Yeah, got to smoke it. We're just looking at these.
We got some
things
that are ringers, right? From 26 and 9, just that perfect combo of both of them. Our OG, our 27 OG Blueberry Muffin has that like really balanced side of the OG and the blueberry that come out. And we have that in the 9x26 as well. It's just like a great balance. Frosty, just looks amazing. Has both traits of the buds as well as the structure, the smells. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's that line where it's like flavor and form. And then there's that lime green we were speaking about, like the evergreens, keep them, the 9x30s, where we're really super loving green. That. And then the 29, the 3, and the 30 are all our highest crystal content plants.
Man. We got some ringers this year.
Some of those 3x30s, just
amazing.
Insane.
Some of the most frost.
Like mutant white.
Unbelievable. Look like it's indoor grown.
Yep, and the 29,
shaded.
How the, like, the sun leaf, the seven fingers, has the, like, crystals all over the petioles inside. It's like...
Yeah, that's amazing. The three has leaf buds, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Studded petioles.
Studded.
That's what I'm calling.
I like it.
So awesome. You've started a pedigree here. You have won awards for some of your herb. I have seen you on the cover of High Times. So tell us a little bit about how Canna Country is hitting the market and what successes y'all have had.
That is a, I don't want
to. Loaded question
that,
there.
That question changes the whole attitude of the.
It's been tough making it to market. Yeah, awards, great. Like this it proves to us that what we're doing by smoking it and being with the plants is like a process that is comparable with other people, because like CannaFest, there was no COA. Emerald Cups, there was no COA. When you talk about making it to market, there's all of a sudden the COA, certificate of analysis, that is a third party test that is there attesting to quality. And it's like, well, wait a minute, what quality? That's just a COA, and people
it's
look
your
for
ticket
the THC.
Into the market.
The
if
real
you
market,
have
you know, the
THC.
New market.
Yes, the new market. So that's so, where we get into trouble with some of our strains.
But those strains are some of the most popular ones.
We know that, but it doesn't matter.
But this is the conversation I'd like to have here.
This is like whether or not this third party test even gives us something relevant to like hang our hat on. Does it tell you how high you're going to get or what kind of experience you'll have just by looking at its THC content and stuff? And no, it's like part of the education that needs to go on, I think, is just what the COA is even telling us. And mix that with what is diversity in the cannabis genome. And because like the whole new market, the regulated market is dominated by type one cannabis, which is just high THC. And there's a lot of people who really are thrilled by the type twos, which is CBD and THC, and type threes that you can smoke, the resin hemp, and then all the types beyond without a number even. Look
absolutely.
At Emerald
well,
and all Spirit
of the
minor and the
THC.
Where there's actual medicine in the plant, you know, and it's...
And an experience. Like
experience
what used
well,
to always inform breeding and keeping for us back before the COA, because now in the legal market, a lot of people are testing for THC and even determining what to keep, or it's just market acceptance or not. But it used to be how it, just like our pheno hunt, you know, how it hit.
How does it taste?
Like,
how's
and
it,
then how
smell,
it grows.
How does it look? Okay, it grows like this, but
does it taste
it's
like
a
it smells?
Fight to get in the door unless you have that higher THC on your COA. Otherwise, you're just kind of like, wow, that's really unique. We can't see our list up here. 30 percenters. This is what people buy. You're not on that list. Sorry.
Well, we started getting 30. The 29 was just 31 recently. Which
I'm talking shop on the 26 because of lower THC scores in the past. But we've also gotten 24s this year. Like, whatever.
Magic 50% higher
so
than ever.
Now we're in stores. Now people want it because of that COA. And so we are having some success co-branding with it right now and getting some larger orders through our dispensary that they're happy with as well. So,
and so people that are outside of the small area where people can get your flower in California, you know, and they want to grow this seed, are these genetics available?
We've been making them available as we test them out enough to know what's in them and how stable they are for this, that, or the other, or especially intersex. We're sun-growing farmers, though, and so it's in any new environment, it's all about how that
reacts to the environment, you know. It could be completely different at sea level, obviously, or 5,000 to 7,000 feet.
Or an inmate indoors.
Exactly, or indoors. It could stress out. It's, you know, its environment is, you know, born in the Emerald Triangle, so it's going to do best in that environment.
We collect diverse things, and some years the rain happens earlier than others, and some years there's more mold pressure, for instance. And we also like to vary our times of harvest because of the small work crew. And so we have the early finishers that when they finish, they're done, time to get them. We have the later finishers that have a more of a conditions permitting maturity level. Like if it's nice out, you can leave it. If it's not as nice, you can take it. The 30 looks good, young or old, and so does the 3.
And the 30 just doesn't ever want to revert back to like trying to flower when it shouldn't. It's always a grower.
Yeah.
Seems to love to get to the end, but you know, it takes its time getting there.
Yeah, and she's so unique in her diamond faceted nature. These hard, amazingly
resinous
bright resin
as well, just white and super dark green. Lime green, just all the different green tones you could think of as
forest funk.
Yeah, as well as that funk.
Yeah. And she like really bred strong in those ways. The form of the flower really like with the 37
and the 26, the way that cream from the osamine and the creamy kind of flavor from the 26 hit that lime flavor and the pinene dominant terp from the 30 and just made a beautiful blend.
Yeah, and the form has been the most consistent in those because like they're about the same height, the same like
beautiful
everything,
crystally, just triangular shaped.
Yeah, and they got more of a leaf from the 30 because the 26 is
absolutely
our thinnest leaf and the 30
big
is the
fat leaf,
fattest
big just, cush leaf on
yeah
it.
Incredible.
So I recently read that 17% of Americans consume cannabis, but 26% of cannabis consumers have actually tried to grow their own.
It's pretty good.
So
1 out of 4 is pretty good.
So let's 1 out of 4 of that 17%. So I want to do a why people should know their farmer or grow their own medicine. Would like for y'all to weigh in on that.
Some of the best flower is sun grown organic. So yeah, there's the Emerald Triangle and there's other places that have sun grown. And so knowing your farmer is a big deal. Are they organic? Are they fully sun? Are they assisted light? What's their situation? For instance, we're a rain catchment off grid. We have a solar system. Our carbon footprint is very little and we're all sun grown, organic. So knowing your farmer is a big deal. It's like, what are you buying at the market? You're putting into your body. It's the same thing. Like, know who your farmers are, know what strains you like. And that may be exploring different farms and different farmers to get what works for you. So we encourage everybody to find what works for them. You're your own doctor.
Yeah. What about growing your own, Reggie?
Well, it's a wonderful practice to get into nurturing something. And especially the herb plant, she's so expressive of the care she gets or doesn't get. In fact, it's I've always loved that when people grew their own, they would come and get herb all the time. And then they decided to grow their own. And they were really into quality because I tend to make some weed snobs that I couldn't sell swag once I educate people forever. And so like then they grow their own and then they see what it really takes to bring perfection to the market through the drying, the curing, and the processing. Oh, yeah. And they always come back like, holy shit. And yeah, I'd say 1 out of 4 sticks with it out of the 1 out of 4. Uh-huh. But it's so fun to just see and then like be a part of it with your plant. You know, it's just fun
connection. Picking
your own fruit too.
The connection, growing your own food. You like, you know, it tastes better because it's yours. You know what I mean? Like, even if it doesn't, probably you're like, oh, this is delicious. I worked my ass off on this thing.
Yeah. Well, and you know what went into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you said it's all going to vary based on your latitude, your environment, you know, whether or not because of where you live, you may have to grow indoors, you know, maybe light depth. Some people may have the option to do full term sun grown, but it's all going to be different for everyone. So what you share is how things grow here for you in Humboldt County. But what I find interesting is that it allows everyone to be their own artist and do their own breeding. So they may purchase your seeds and have a different experience.
Absolutely. That's something we're counting on. We hope to get feedback from everybody that's growing in different places so that we have some understanding about it as well.
Yes. So if people do want to engage with you, they want to purchase your seeds and then they want to give you feedback. I know you're on social media. So what's your Instagram handle? How can people find you?
Canna Country Farms is the Instagram and the website is cannacountryfarms.com. Alpine Seed Groups.
Group.
You can purchase Canna Country Selections at alpineseedgroup.com. And then be sure and give the guys feedback on Instagram at Canna Country Selections. And you can see what's happening day to day out on the farm at Canna Country Farms. All right, let's talk for a minute about feminized versus regular seeds and then where y'all are on that as far as what's going to be available to the Gen Pop who wants to grow Canna Country Selections.
Feminized is what most people who buy bulk want, what most people who have a plant number count limit, a limit of plants that they can do. Say you have 6 plants available that you can do legally and you want them all to be female unless you want to make seeds. But usually people prefer Sensimilla for a variety of reasons. The regular seed though, it is the male and female. And we don't know what's going to happen long-term for the genome if we stick with feminized breeding, for instance, and get rid of this Y chromosome. We don't know. So we've started all of our own through regular breeding. And that's like our major seed production for all of our R&D and everything has been regular. And so all of these, the CC3 through 38, are all from regular seed, true females. Not to say that means anything other than just what I said.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we don't know, but now we're really exploring quantity. And we did this last year as well of numbers of these feminized crosses. And like the biggest part of the breeding and growing always to me is observation. And we have spent a huge amount of time truly observing all aspects of the plant.
And absolutely.
It's been like playing video games, looking at every bud all the time and do it again.
Every day.
Yep. Finally, we're up in the tops looking at the buds and the seeds are getting fat. And yeah, like it's easier to see a banana, but like you always got to be on your lookout because that's like our job here is like making sure that the stability we speak of is intersex stability first. And then it's working towards stability of traits. You know, harvest time within a line is big, within a cross, you know, how close in harvest are there? How many phenotypes are we seeing? How many of them are the short pheno versus the tall pheno?
How many look the same?
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. We're really looking for anything and everything.
And taking notes and classifying them based on what we're seeing and looking at them like, oh, I'm going to smoke you.
Yeah. We got triples. We got weirdos. There's everything in there. Yeah. There's every bunch you can think of.
You know, the seeded studded petiole.
Right.
Excitable petiole. It's got to have a name where the
web foot
petiole gets it. The web is like our next round of full terms. We got some Hawaiian web to look at too. And those are freaks.
Pretty freaky.
Latitude in general for our seeds made at 40 degrees north latitude. They like finish with the season just fine. Some might get caught out in the rain more than others. Some come in before the rain, like summer.
Some of the blueberries.
Yep. Some take more light. Some do great in low light.
Yeah.
Like so,
some
like,
do better in full sun, just beat down.
Yeah.
Like the 30.
Just put me in the wind, the 26.
Matter. Yeah, 26.
Yeah.
30, like 27. Those are all really good ones.
So that. Latitude and conditions, the conditions are like what really... On Maui, we would use different genetics for the leeward side versus the windward side. You know, ones that can handle heat and no water on the leeward side.
Or hella wind or whatever. Yeah. Something a little stronger.
And so we know like 29 has been the earliest. 37 was the earliest in the collection when she was around. And 29's been predictably early and makes these nice, easy to process indoor looking buds all the way up.
Super frosty.
And she has that
earthy, dosey.
Yep. Apical deep. Dominance. And she's made a lot of longer buds with that indoor look and that just weird crystally.
Super frosty. Yeah. Everything's got frost on it, even the stalk.
So we put her with things that we thought would make a predictably more resistant to environmental moisture, for instance.
And resinous.
Yeah, and she adds the resin too. And
some dirt, some earth from the dosi likes to come through in some of those crosses.
Yeah, in the 9x29, it's a gasp forward, like stank. there's a batch that had a longer, taller version and a shorter version. Yeah, that really was like 9 versus version. 29.
Yeah.
Like capped 29, down to 2 feet versus the 3.5
tall footer. And stretchy 9, short and squatty, you know, and to have those like that perfect one.
Yeah, but know, flavor cool. complemented each other to
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
9 really brings gas forward with that.
It's so much depth
skunk.
In that skunk. And then yeah. citrus, that citrus is still, it's hard to get that funk out of there. Like it's in it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's what it brings. And then it's like if people have a longer season or they're at a lower latitude and like in one of their priorities is size, then it's like we go towards the 30s, the later flowering things, the 9x30, because the 9's a later flower too. They have a better chance of growing a bigger plant, but the quicker finishing things, especially to an equatorial, more equatorial environment or southern latitude, makes them even quicker.
Yeah, like the 29 and 38 would probably be pretty quick.
Super quick and not really, it'd be like a foot tall in Hawaii, 18 inches.
So what about someone who is in a harsh, more arid environment? Is there anything that would be even remotely close to try? And then yeah. like, you know, what do we do to just give them a chance at growing without stressing?
Well, Canna Country Farms is at a very hot, very windy when windy. It's windy, like environmental pressures are like that.
Yep.
Where it was 117 that time.
Yeah, it's been extremely hot, extremely windy, extremely hot and windy, extremely wet, cold mornings. It's pretty extreme here, but it's not constant. So if you're talking about a place that's like the desert, we don't know. We haven't grown there yet.
But 38 in the
depth. As far as it goes, the stress test is pretty good here. Like we've had a high amount of winds for months here. And every time we plant in May, it's just like a fan for 2 months and the plants just get beat up. And this year was no different.
Yeah, but things like the 38, we've noticed like in hot depths, it was that last year, it made actually chunky pieces where like some things finished early and less chunky, like the 29. It can kind of go that way. So like a dry, arid environment like that too, the 38 is pretty bulky. The 37 is a quick and a bulky one. 30 definitely can take heat too.
It's either way.
Yeah.
That is a beast.
It's such an all-arounder. The 38 is the workhorse of a plant, but the 30 is like a notch up in size and it never gives an
growth.
Issue either.
Yeah. It outgrows it by a double at least.
Yep. Which more stretchy. The 38 is like perfect for environments that you don't want stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the greenhouse, the volume yep. approach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And same with the 37.
If it gets hot in a greenhouse, it might stretch out a little bit, but outside it's a squatty one.
Yeah. And holds herself up really good. 29 tough. Did too, even 6 foot tall.
Yep. Stands and the line.
The 9 is such a globe. She's not only the densest flower, she's a globe of a plant.
She's got like a crown-shaped bud.
Yeah, she's deceiving too. She's like the smokiest one too.
Stony.
Stony baloney.
Couch. Sit on the couch for a while after that, do we?
For us, because some people go the other way. She's psychedelic stimulant.
Okay, so we want to turn a bunch of people on to purchasing seeds, growing their own. And let's say they're doing it like the way you saw it when you were a kid, where your mom or your grandma were growing a few plants with their vegetable garden. What are hot tips from people that have been farming their whole lives and gardening cannabis flower?
Start. Just start.
Yeah, it's an easy
start
plant.
Start farming. It's pretty easy to work with.
Yep. Are you just pushing a seed down into the ground or are we?
I mean, yeah, you can. Put it right in your garden and water it. But I would imagine probably starting it in a tray with dirt and water and covering it slightly so they can take off and pop its head up and then be transplanted into something small like a 4 or 5 inch pot and then growing till it has roots to hit the ground. But you can plant it right in the pot.
Are there great companion plants that cannabis flower likes?
It's pretty tolerant. I like low growing things around it that like, and they say them like oily things that will, when their root zones interact, that it'll make them all produce more oil. Mm. So that's
interesting.
Yeah. But it's like, it gets up, it's taller than a lot of other things, which makes it a cool garden companion. It can flow around all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. You can have some of the plants start feeding your soil nitrogen.
All right. Well, is there anything we didn't ask you that would round out our conversation?
We can get more into 38 being such a huge extractor.
Yeah.
Like, and then why we bred it with like not only the other blueberry muffin crosses to stroke the early and the resistant and that fruity flavor that really like seems to be in the descendants, like a more tart blueberry to me. Like there's more of a raspberry
tarty in there. Lime and the blueberry make a different kind of flavor.
Exactly. And how we put the 38 with the different Can of Country selections just to peer within with it as a donor this year. And that's cool.
Yeah, and it's a really like 6.4% washer. So knowing that it's a producer like that and hopefully crossing it with something else that is coming up with something new that's maybe a heavy.
Yeah. But we know it's a
yielder, even more so.
These globe.
And it's not just a yielder. It's also like super terpy and amazing looking rosin. So we are excited about the 38 in so many ways.
All right. And currently on the Alpine Seed Group site, you can get the 38 by 29 feminized seeds. There are 6 or 7 varietals available on the site. And we're excited about what y'all have coming up.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. We're excited as well. A lot more.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us a sneak peek. And folks will be able to actually see the guys pheno hunting and sniffing up on the ladies in some of the videos that we'll have on the Alpine Seed Group YouTube channel and also Instagram. So take a look at that. And we look forward to hearing more from you guys soon.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining
us. Thank you.
Cannabis Breeders Network is an Alpine Seed Group production and a member of the PodConnects Cannabis Podcast Network. Editing and sound design are by Jamie Humiston. Connect with the show on Instagram at Cannabis Breeders Network and purchase the highest quality cannabis genetics at alpineseedgroup.com.